When Hollywood comes to Dublin, we love movies with Gordon Hayden. Spin 103.8.
Choose life. Choose Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and hope that someone, somewhere cares.
Missed you, mate.
I missed you too, Spud.
Choose looking up old flames, wishing you'd done it all differently.
Do you still take heroin?
No.
And choose watching history repeat itself.
Hello, Franco.
Simon. I'm home.
You are listening to We Love Movies. It's our T2 Trainspotting special. Last Sunday night, I was over in Edinburgh for the world premiere of the long-awaited sequel. I spoke to the film stars and director Danny Boyle, who of course helmed the original and won an Oscar for Slumdog Millionaire. First out of the traps is Robert Carlyle, who of course plays Francis Begbie, one of cinema's favourite nutcases.
Pleasure to meet you, sir.
Nice to meet you.
Oh, listen, it's great having you back. Absolutely brilliant. Do you know what? Seeing you guys together on screen, as fans watching it, we were giddy with excitement, going, I can't believe you guys are together again. Being in the room for the first time in preparation for this, was it in any way emotional?
Very much so. Reading the script was emotional, to be honest with you, because I didn't expect it. I didn't expect that. But at the end of it, Ewan McGregor said exactly the same thing, that both of us, I mean, not frightened to admit it, we both cried when we read the script, in fact, because we're very close to these characters through the years, you know, and you kind of, you've given sort of flesh to their bones, so you feel for them. And you, 20 years down the line, to see the way they've ended up, just kind of hit you right in the heart, you know. And I hope that's the same thing that happens with the rest of the audience that come to watch it through the coming months, that they will see there's an emotional undercurrent in this film, which I think will surprise people.
It's testament to how great an actor you are that you've taken his complete and utter psycho and that you've made him quite lovable and people clamour for more. And I've got to be honest with you, Robert, we've got the Blade Artist, and without giving anything away, I think people will want to see more, maybe in 10 years' time, because whatever happens to Begbie, even to Spud, your storylines, what do you think? Do you think there could be even a chance?
I hope so. I mean, I think if the appetite is there for it, I mean, I know Irvin Welsh and myself will be speaking about it. He's up for it, I'm up for it. I think we had to wait till this is by first to see if there was still an appetite for the Trainspotting world. It seems like there is. So I would think there's life in Begbie yet.
Oh, I think so.
It's a pleasure to meet
nice
you, sir.
To talk to you. Take care.
Next, Johnny Lee Miller plays Sick Boy, who likes to go by his name Simon in the sequel. He came dressed like Arnie from Terminator 2 Judgment Day. It was like a little nod to the guys using T2 as a title, because for those that don't know, Terminator 2 also went by that. Here's how I got on when I spoke to Johnny Lee Miller.
Nice to meet you, sir. I'm loving the leather. There's a real throwback to old Terminator 2 going on here. Would that be fair to say?
Terminator 2?
Yeah.
Well, it's your major, maybe I hear what you're saying.
Yeah. What's it like returning as Simon?
It's been a fabulous... it was great fun making a movie, and it was a great opportunity and just a blessing to be able to go back and revisit a character 20 years later in a movie. We don't get to do that very often.
Did you read much of porno, like, to get a good sense of him this time out, or were you just really working off the script?
No, I read it, and I, you know, I filled it with notes. I took little bits and pieces here and there, like I did with the first book, you know, make little notes about... Just character notes, really, yeah.
And just that fight scene with Ewan, are they difficult to shoot, bearing in mind, like, everyone seems to get on so well? Like, granted, you're acting it, but, like, when you really have to go hell for leather, is that difficult?
No, it's a lot of fun, actually. It's only difficult because, you know, you want to make it look good, and you're working with a stunt coordinator, and they're not difficult from an emotional perspective at all.
Lovely to meet you, Johnny. Yeah, take have a nice night, mate.
From Sick Boy now to Renton, here's Ewan McGregor talking to us at the world premiere for T2 Trainspotting.
It is surreal. You're back just over 20 years. Did you ever worry, though, trying to slip back into Renton again? Did you ever doubt yourself that you could possibly do it?
Yeah, you have to be stupid not to, like, have some worries about it, because they're so known, these characters, they're so loved, and somehow they're like people we know, you know, Sick Boy and Begbie and Spud and Renton and Diane, and they're like people we grew up with somehow. I don't know why that is, but it seems to be the case. So yes, there's a slight pressure to make sure that you I didn't know if I could find him again. But then I get on set with Danny, and I get on set saying John Hodges' words, and I'm speaking to Johnny Lee Miller as Sick Boy or Ewan Bremner as Spud, and there he is.
It's all there.
Next on our T2 Train Spotting special, it's Ewan Bremner who plays Spud. He's very much the heart of the sequel. I began by asking him about a fairly disgusting scene involving poor old Spud.
So many great scenes in this for you. I've got to ask you about one of them. Yes. The plastic bag on your head, yes. You puke into it. What is that puke?
Do you really want to know?
Oh, I want to know.
Well, we had to do it a lot of times, and it didn't go as it was intended to go. I got waterboarded with vegetable soup, basically. Straight up the nose. For days, I had like my sinuses felt like they were full of vegetable soup. It was really not a good feeling.
Was that suffering for your art, though, Ewan?
Yeah, I felt ill for quite a few days after that. But yeah.
What did you think of Spud's arc this time out?
Well, you know, Spud is doing his best. He always wants to, like, give his all, you know, like from the original stories, the original film, into this. He wants to give his all. He wants to be there for his wife and kid. He wants to be there for his friends. And he just suffers with, you know, the weight of his struggles with addiction, and it's a real mountain for him to move.
Without giving anything away at the ending, when the credits roll and you see where Spud is going in his life, it really makes, I think, fans will clamour for a third film.
Really?
I think so. What do you reckon?
20 more years, you think?
Well, we can't wait that long. We can't wait that long. But, you know, because I was thinking, you know, Richard Linklater has his Before trilogy, and it's really nice the way you can dip in and out of those characters' lives every maybe 4 or 5 years. What do you reckon?
True. Well, we've not talked about it, so we've only joked about it, like on motility scooters, you know, like going down Portobello Prom, you know. But I don't know. You should discuss it with Irvin and see what you can come up with.
And finally, here is director Danny Boyle telling us about how he discovered the rubber bandits and why he put them in the movie.
How are you?
Yeah, very good.
But I want to ask about
the old country, yeah.
The rubber bandits.
Yes.
And when we first saw them on the soundtrack, it was like, what are they doing? What's going on?
Everywhere. So I was talking to Hodge, John Hodge, the screenwriter, isn't it? And that's the kind of stuff he watches. When he's meant to be at home rewriting, that's what he's actually doing, is watching the Rubber Bandits. So he said, so I started watching them and I loved them. I mean,
the video is crazy.
But they seem to be these characters, that's exactly the stuff they'd watch, you know, and they'd really champion the Rubber Bandits.
But even the video for Dad's Best Friend, like, that is just insane, Danny.
It is, but it's very appropriate to these characters as well and the particular time of life they're at. It felt very appropriate to that. So it's in there as a good laugh, but it's got a point as well.
Danny, we're also thrilled as Trainspotting fans that you came back for a second helping. And I know over the years, having interviewed you, we always would nearly ask the obligatory last question, is there going to be a Trainspotting 2? But for creating the storyline, because, like, obviously there's the book Porno, how come you decided, I don't want to do a straight adaptation of that?
Well, we tried to do a more kind of conventional adaptation of Porno, and it didn't really work, to be honest. So we let it mull over, and then storytelling became more important, weirdly, about who was telling these stories, and that unlocked it quite a bit for us, actually. And you'll see that when you see the film, about who ends up as the storyteller at the end of the film. And it curiously does a loop back to the original book, and the original book remains a great, great book, because books age, and, you know, that one doesn't. That one is as fresh as it was the first day I ever read it. It's an extraordinary book.
Finally, Richard Linklater has his Before trilogy. Could you have a trilogy of Trainspotting?
Watch this space.
Danny, thank you very much for your time.
You're an addict. So be addicted. Just be addicted to something else. Choose the ones you love. Choose your future. Choose life.
So that's how I got on at the world premiere for T2 Trainspotting. Still to come, we'll have our review with Rory Cashin and Brian Lloyd. Plus, we'll be playing you our sit-down interview with director Danny Boyle, who talks to us about the making of the movie. But first, here is Rachel with this week's main movie stories.
I'll be back.
You stay classy, San Diego.
And the Oscar goes to...
We love movies.
On Spin 103.8.
Movie news.
Hi, I'm Rachel. It's another week and another movie trailer. We got another look at the movie Colossal this week. The story follows a woman who discovers that catastrophic events are somehow connected to the mental breakdown from which she's suffering.
I just looked at the news and I think I'm in shock. A giant monster just materialized over Seoul.
That happened like 9 hours ago. You're just hearing about this. What have you been doing all day?
You ever notice how it just keeps destroying everything in its path, but it never looks down?
Now, while there was huge Oscar buzz, of course, this week, there were some other nominations in. Yes, I am talking about the Razzies, the award ceremony in recognition of the worst in film. And Zoolander 2 led the way. It was nominated for 9 awards, including Worst Picture, Worst Actor, and Worst Director for Ben Stiller. Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice got the nod for Worst Picture, while Ben Affleck, Jared Butler, and Robert De Niro were all up for Worst Actor. And the Worst Actress nominees included Megan Fox, Julia Roberts, and Naomi Watts. But now on to the actual Oscars, and of course there was huge excitement in Ireland this week as Irish actress Ruth Negga was nominated for Best Actress for her role in Loving. Ruth released a statement after the news saying she's truly humbled and she thanks the Academy for her recognition. She said it's been such an honour to have been given the opportunity to tell the incredible story of Richard and Mildred Loving, who serve as an inspiration that ordinary people can do extraordinary things. Absolutely. And you can watch our very own interview with Ruth Negga up on our website. Now it's spin1038.com.
Thank you for coming out.
We love movies with Gordon Hayden. The biggest stars, the hottest interviews. Spin 1038.
This week on We Love Movies, it's our T2 Trainspotting special. Very shortly, we'll hear from its director Danny Boyle, but first, here's a clip.
So, there's this room service guy, right? And he comes into the room and there is Georgie Best lying on the bed with 2 Playboy models. 3 in a bed, champagne and a wee bit of Charlie, and there's banknotes. But they're lying on the banknotes.
Lying on the money?
Yes.
Why?
I don't know, because he has a lot of money. Or at least he had a lot of money at the time, anyway. The room service guy, he comes in and he sees this scene that I just described to you and he says, George Best.
Greatest footballer of all time.
Exactly, the greatest footballer of all time. I have to ask you, where did it all go wrong?
Where did it all go wrong?
Where did it all go wrong?
Where did it all go wrong,
yeah,
George
but
Best?
I think that the room service guy, you know, I think he makes a very good point. No?
A clip there from T2 Trainspotting. Director Danny Boyle, his debut film was the Coen Brothers' inspired thriller Shallow Grave. He would follow it up with the now cult classic Trainspotting. And over the years, he would have hits and misses. Now, the films that didn't land were the likes of A Life Less Ordinary and The Beach, which you know starred Leonardo DiCaprio. And when they did land, you had 28 Days Later and his Oscar-winning film Slumdog Millionaire. His most recent films were the Steve Jobs biopic and a remake of the thriller Trance, starring James McAvoy. 2017 marks 21 years since the release of Trainspotting, and before I spoke to Danny Boyle about returning to that world, I wanted to find out about his Irish roots and began by asking him, are his parents originally from Galway?
Well, yeah, my mother's from Ballinasloe in County Galway, and where I still have some relatives actually, and haven't been back for many, many years. But used to go back there regularly as a child, Irish roots, and part of the generation that came over in the 50s into Manchester and Liverpool. I'm from Manchester, so was very conscious of my Irish roots. And I went back to work in Ireland after I worked in theatre in Britain. I worked in Ireland, in Northern Ireland, in Belfast and Derry, for about 4 years for the BBC there, making dramas. That was my first experience on a camera, making films. So very aware of my Irish roots, yeah. And I'm very conscious recently of the fact that, you know, especially doing this film again, was the number of Irish or Scottish actors I've worked with is just like virtually every film. They're Irish or Scottish. Even the last one, Michael Fassbender and You know, so it's like a Cillian Murphy and Brendan Gleeson and these guys, and so it's extraordinary. Yeah, so obviously, kind of feel very. It obviously helps me make the films. You know, having those actors around.
Well, tell me this, Danny. Having worked with some of Ireland's finest actors, how do they compare in comparison to, say, their British counterparts?
I'm not going to make any comparison, but you can tell that my opinion is expressed in my preference, really, and I work with them a great deal. There's something very special about them, I think. Yeah.
Now, Danny, onto all things T2 Trainspotting. As a matter of interest, did Irvine Welsh have any issues that you had reservations about not going through with the adaptation of his follow-up novel, Porno?
No, Irvine is tremendously positive in the way that he supports people who work with his work. And he's, even to the extent that, and even in our case, we didn't particularly adapt Porno. There's a couple of things taken from Porno, so it wasn't a strict adaptation of it. He was happy for it to be called an adaptation of both books. And what's also interesting about Irvine is that the way that the characters are manifested in these two films, so through John Hodge, the screenwriter, and then through me and these four actors, they are different characters to the characters he strictly writes. But when he goes back to write those characters again, he still writes them the way he writes them, rather than the way John writes them and the way that I depict them with these actors. And he sort of keeps a parallel. So they run in parallel universes in a way. They're similar, they share the same name, and there's certain things where it crosses over. But he maintains that his own voice for them himself. And I think that's because he knows them. And we don't. We've never met them, the guys they're based on, whereas he's obviously grown up with them in a way. So, and we've never asked him for access to that. You know, we didn't want to make it. It's not realism in that sense. You know, it's a kind of heightened realism the films occupy.
What was it like, Danny, when yourself and the cast got together for the first time in the same room prior to filming on T2 Trainspotting?
Yeah, we did a read-through in London, as it happens, because it was easier than. This was way before we started filming. This was like an early read-through. When we hadn't really made the deals yet, everybody was just like, we didn't even have the money for the film then. But we all met in, I think Johnny didn't make it because he couldn't get a babysitter. He was with his son and he just couldn't organise it. And he was out in Essex, I think, and he couldn't get a babysitter. Anyway, we, just to hear their voices, Begbie's voice and Spud's and Renton's, it was extraordinary, you know, because you kind of felt what I hope people feel when they see the film. You feel a kind of, you relax for a moment. You think, oh, right, I know this voice, I know this character, I know this actor. And you kind of, and you know, and you relax into it. It's kind of like, you just kind of slide into it. And that's what I felt at the read-through. So, and then we met and did a bit of rehearsals and then began to shoot, really. It was very quick into the shoot because they had so little time that they could give us over the summer, you know.
Danny, I now have some quick-fire questions for you. First up, could we ever see another instalment in the 28 Days Later series?
Well, there is an idea. There is an idea for a third part of that, actually, yeah. But I can't. I have got no further news on that, I'm afraid. Not a very exciting update.
After your Bond skit at the London Olympics opening ceremony, would you be open to directing a Bond movie in the future?
No, I have made one film with a much bigger budget, which was The Beach, and it didn't really suit my style of working. It's not that I don't like using equipment or scale or anything like that. I love all that stuff, but I'd rather kind of have limitations on what I can do rather than kind of endless, you know, rather than huge budgets. And so it's not really my, I wouldn't be very good at it, so I shouldn't do it.
And finally, Danny, Robert Carlyle and Irvine Welsh, they're both keen on another Trainspotting story. Would you be tempted back?
This is the Blade artist we're talking about, Irvine Welsh's new book, which takes a very different look at Begbie. And I was shocked at how good it was, because it's very, very bold what he does. And it's also, unlike his other books, it's very short. It's very tightly written. I don't know whether he's got himself a different editor. I don't think he has. But it's very compact. And, you know, Bobby would be extraordinary in it. I mean, I don't know. I don't know whether I could... I certainly... I certainly, it's been enough trying to get this just through and out into the world, really. So, but I think the prospect of that is mouth-watering, whether I'm involved in it or not, really.
Danny Boyle, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much for your time.
Spin
1038. And the Oscar goes to...
And the Oscar goes to...
We Love Movies with Gordon Hayden.
Thank you to the Academy.
And that is it for part one of We Love Movies. Coming up in part two, we'll be reviewing T2 Trainspotting, plus Mel Gibson's Hacksaw Ridge, and the new animated movie Sing. That's all to come very shortly, right here on We Love Movies.